call the meeting to order. This is a joint session between the City of Depot Bay and Lincoln County Commission. So we'll go around and introduce everyone. So let's just start.
Melanie Maher, the new city recorder for the City of Depot Bay.
Barbara Leff, Mayor of Depot Bay.
Robert Gambino, City Councilman.
Bill Hall, Lincoln County Commissioner.
Terry Thompson, Lincoln County Commissioner.
Doug Hunt, Lincoln County Commissioner.
Charlie Bates, City Councilman, Depot Bay, or City, whatever.
And
we understand.
And Debbie Callender, City Council, Depot Bay.
Okay. And the people we don't have on the City Council, I see Lauren Goddard. I think he's getting a new boat.
Yes, he is. He's on his way up, and the weather's not making him easy.
No, it's, he's going to get here about 8 foot of swell. It'll be interesting for the first time through the channel. I've been waiting for the weather to come down so I could bring mine here, too. I was planning on being here before. Okay. So the first thing we've got is Bill Hall something. Did you put this on today?
I did not. They did.
So whoever would like to speak on it then?
For course, housing.
I think we were hoping that Bill would speak on it.
Okay.
You have an extra hour.
I'll try and give you the short version. Unfortunately, not a lot happening locally right now. I mean, everybody acknowledging the need and how challenging it is to create a lot of workforce housing. I think my main efforts at the moment are focused in Salem through the Association of Counties, the Oregon Housing Alliance, which is a coalition of cities, counties, social service agencies. We're really trying to push for some policy changes, some flexibility that would make it a little easier for cities and counties to site workforce housing, and trying to get some more money in the pipeline. Last year, the legislature did $60 million in bonding, really more aimed at low-income housing. This year, the governor's budget proposed $60 million. And the House of Representatives, Speaker Kotek, bumped that all the way up to $100 million. And the thing that really gives me some hope on this is that in addition to acknowledging that for low-income folks there's a huge need, in a lot of parts of the state there's also for the workforce. And for the first time, it looks like at least a portion of this is going to be set aside for first-time homebuyer programs and things that can help actually create houses for working families. So I wish I had something more concrete to report, but it's something, you know, we had one lobby day in Salem, and there were about 200 of us. We're going to have another one next month, and I think, you know, as I talk to members of the legislature, almost every one of them say they've heard housing is either the number one or number two issue when they're campaigning, so I think they get it, but it's just a complicated issue with a lot of pieces. So keep plugging away, and I know other people will as well. That's the short story.
Well, I might share some thoughts I have. I'm an economist, and one of the basic fundamental rules of our economy is supply and demand. And when I moved here in the fall of 1988, we looked at half a dozen houses that were within the broad price range that we thought were affordable to us. We didn't find any houses we liked. We said, well, we'll rent one. And the response was, you can't find a place to rent. And so it's, what, roughly 30 years later, and we still can't find places to rent. We still can't find houses to buy. We did find one, and we're happy. But again, if you go back to the law of supply and demand, what's interfering? Because in theory, if you've got such a strong demand for housing, there would be a supply of homes built to meet that demand. So as I look at the issue, it's certainly complicated. Availability of land, the price of land, the housing recession hasn't helped. My understanding is a lot of the contractors in the area, they've gone to places where they can make money easier. Arizona would be a good example. Lots of dry season, lots of flat land. It's a complex set of issues that are interfering with our ability to, or with the economic ability for the supply to be increased to meet the demand. A couple other thoughts is, there's a lot of talk about money being made available so that people can afford to rent or buy expensive homes. And again, I think that's addressing the wrong side of the equation. We've got enough demand for housing. We don't need to create more demand for housing. In my opinion, we should take the money that would go to help people afford expensive housing and devote that to increasing the supply of homes, which would then, again, help to bring that supply and demand back in balance. And by reducing the demand, you're going to reduce the costs. And the last thought I have is you talk about affordable housing or low-income housing. And again, if you look at the laws of supply and demand, simply increasing housing is going to address both of those issues, whether it's affordable or low-income. Because, again, with more housing, some houses that are now expensive are going to become less expensive. So I think that, again, it's a complex issue. Obviously, if it were easy, solutions would have been found. But I hope there's a focus on, you know, how do we increase the supply of housing? What are the regulations? What are the land use laws that can be addressed to help make the supply greater?
So I'll tell you where my opinion is, and I'm a little bit different camp, but even though I agree with both of them. And the land use system is a failure for the coast because we're trapped between the ocean and timberland. And there's very little land for development in there. That there are places that could be, and if we could make some changes in zoning laws for the coast, particularly because of the tsunami, we should be able to build back farther. And by doing a land swap, and people are willing to move off the coastal land that and be higher, we could increase the land somewhat, and also, if we did the right kind of swap, we could protect our communities better. But the land use system, I never liked what it did to the coast from day one, because it creates that shortage over here that other parts of the state don't have. They can go in four directions. We can only go in two, so we're going to have twice the problems. Just basically, if you look at the way the system was built.
Well, there was one bill last year that I did help get passed, and then I was on a interim task force that came up with the rules to implement it. Basically, a pilot program. Initially, they're only going to give two cities kind of an express process to expand their urban growth boundaries if it's for affordable housing. And the legislature, you know, this was not a new idea. It passed last year, but it was basically a revival of a bill that had failed 5 years earlier. So now that program's in place. DLCD is taking applications. I've heard that Yachts may be one of the cities that applies for it. So it'll be interesting to see if that helps get a little more flexibility into land use and at least removing one of the barriers. But it's a huge need. I mean, there was one contractor I know who's now gone elsewhere, but in the space of a year, he did 87 new affordable units in Lincoln City, one of the more significant developments in that price range around here in a long time. He told me that when he advertised for applications for the last 30 units, he got 400 applications.
Well, that's the problem we've got, is affordable here, because the tourist industry takes up a lot in Lincoln County, is a difficult word. What's affordable? You go to San Francisco, and you got $250,000, you can't even buy anything. You got $1 million, you might get a house. And so affordable is relative to what your economic situation is that's there. And I'm a believer that if we can improve the economy and have more high-paying jobs, that makes the houses more affordable. But it's not affordable for the low-income ones. And that's a different situation there.
And we're always going to have a lot of jobs that are low income, you know, minimum wage, as long as the visitor industry is one of the big drivers of the economy.
San Francisco still has people working.
Yeah, even the high tech folks.
And they may travel more difference.
Yeah.
But
to
our community. So, yeah. I mean, my answer is different to theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create, if we can, and I spend a lot of time concentrating on trying to take advantage of our one biggest asset, and that's the ocean. There's a lot of high-paying jobs out there. And if we can get those high-paying jobs to locate here, granted, it's not going to be what you call low-income housing, but it's affordable housing then for a lot of people. We can be competitive with the tourist industry. Mm-hmm. So that brings another subject, if you don't mind. We'll go to that. We'll take the solar eclipse last, but we have a few subjects. Doug, can you talk a little bit about what we're working on, what you're working on? He's now leading an issue that I started some time ago on maritime issues.
A perfect segue from your last comments about the value of the ocean. The industry that's related to water, inland, maritime. And Terry started a project a couple of years ago trying to work with the state to get data that would support what we all know really intuitively, that there's a lot of jobs that are related to the maritime industry, commercial fishing, ports, tugboat pilots, and it's an industry where there are lots of opportunities, lots of good-paying jobs. But there really wasn't any data available from the state. So Terry started on that, and I was at the Coastal Caucus a year ago and sat down with a gentleman by the name of Rick Williams and happened to just sit down and have breakfast together. And got talking about the maritime sector and the fact that we can develop some programs to create educational programs, workforce training programs, which was a perfect fit because I'm involved in the Oregon Northwest Workforce Investment Board, which was newly created a couple of years ago. So fast forward, yesterday we had a meeting, and it was really two segments. The first segment was we invited private sector employers, people that actually employ people in the maritime sector. We had fish processing there, we had maritime supplies there, we had port representation there, and the idea was to have the employers tell the workforce, sector strategy group, which is part of the effort to get this industry recognized, and again, I convened that group. The employers had an opportunity to talk about what the needs are, what skills they're looking for. And what are some of the barriers to filling the opportunities that they have? And so after about an hour and a half of listening to what the employer needs were, we then reconvened the entire group, which was also representatives from the public agencies. And this task force is trying to create a sector strategy that will address the needs of the employers and develop educational programs and workforce training programs. And so as I've worked with this sector strategy committee, really looked at four areas. First of all, we're trying to get the state to recognize the value, officially recognize the value and the significance of the maritime sector. And there is a Senate bill that's currently being heard in Salem that basically creates a task force which would then be able to look at quantify the huge value that we know the maritime sector represents. And that official recognition would then enable some of the state agencies to also work to create the data. Again, we know it's there, but we can't get it from the state. Create the data that supports the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of need for different employees within the maritime sector. And then, as I've mentioned earlier, we're also looking at educational programs with the community colleges along the coast. And then finally, working with the Workforce Investment Board, which has dollars available right now for sector training. So we're trying to develop a maritime sector strategy that would then free up the workforce investment dollars for workforce training. So lots of opportunities for good-paying jobs that in high demand throughout the coast. And the last point I'd make is that I don't see this as a Newport-centric or even a Lincoln County-centric effort. It's really, we have three major ports along the coast and four or five other minor ports. But not only that, but there are ports up the Columbia River. So really an opportunity to develop skills and individuals for maritime sector jobs that are of significant value and benefit to the region and the state.
So, when it started, I went the other tactic. I knew there was a problem, and I tried to pull all the community college together. Betsy Johnson from the Northern District State Representative, who said, okay, if we move to the Hatfield Marine Science Center, what's in it for me? Which is a fair question for the rest of the state. And so I said, I'm going to try to tie this all together. Well, when I pulled them all together, the first thing we found out was Placid Community College can't get money to do workforce training, and they have the ability to do basic ship crewmen, captains, all the licensing stuff, but they couldn't get through the barrier because our state made it look like we didn't have any jobs in the maritime industry. So when Doug came along, and the meeting yesterday was way more successful than I would have ever imagined. We had all the right players in the room, and we went after it. And they came up with four areas, I believe.
Yeah, four areas. And again, the whole idea was to hear from the private sector, and nothing was off the table. So infrastructure, which isn't really a surprise when you think about it, but that was one of the four areas that everybody had an agreement was critical. Regulations, and again, maybe you can't change regulations, but you can modify regulations and create awareness of the burdens of regulations, create and the impact it has on the industry. And of course, the big one is people. What are the skills that the people need? And talked about soft skills, writing on time and being dependable, that sort of thing. Also talked about, again, education and workforce training. And the final one was to do more public outreach and create an awareness of these programs so that we can attract people, because in theory, people can come from throughout certainly the Pacific Northwest, come to these programs, get the training, get the skills, and then stay here, live here, and have good paying jobs.
So that was the breakdown of what happened in the meeting. And just a few hours ago, I got in City of Newport's face because this has just started. Doug did a great job, and the results was amazing that we were able to get this far down the line so quick. But because we didn't, when the word housing came up, all of a sudden, David Allen says, well, the city should have been included. Well, we had a room full of people as it was. I mean, it was packed to the walls with just the industry people and the education group. And we didn't know what was going to happen. So I apologize to any cities if you feel like you were slighted. But literally, we already had the room full with what we were doing. And it's not to try to keep you out of this. It's trying to get you involved. But, so it's one of those things that happens.
We do not feel slighted. We're delighted that you're working on that, because we've got population here that fits right into that sector.
Exactly.
And that means opportunities for them. So rather than be insulted, let us offer our support. If there are ways that we can help, you have to let us know.
Okay, well, as this develops, having a representative there to talk, especially when we can concentrate on areas that need input from all cities, because one of the things that slipped through the cracks on the first meeting was the sports industry and the charter industry, and we apologize. But we didn't know what was going to come out. We invited a bunch of people, and afterwards they said, does anybody see anything that's not there? And one of them is the sports and charter industry.
If you're saying that you would like to see a representative from the sports and charter industry, I'm sure we can help you identify something.
We will be asking.
And again, to kind of clarify the next steps, if you will, now that we've identified these four primary areas, and of course housing is part of infrastructure, there were champions. The private sector representatives volunteered to champion their particular area of interest. And so the next step is there'll be some follow-up calls to further refine those four areas of interest, try to get more people involved, certainly we'll be calling. And we'll really see which sectors kind of develop a life of their own, and which ones maybe don't have as much initiative or forward traction, and then again be able to get those four groups to more or less further their cause and develop those strategies on their own, and again dovetail into education and job training.
So there was a side benefit. That I'm going to ask the mayor. One of your bigger problems in the court, I believe, is the filling in of the courts around Puyallup.
Yes. That's a major issue.
I work without a net, I'm sorry. But John Byrne is the president or the director for the Port of Coos Bay. They have the dredge. So I went and talked to him personally and said, hey, we have a problem here, and it's not the port's fault. We're on a 3-year schedule before we're supposed to get dredged, but because of the unusual amount of water flow into the bay this year, it's more of an emergency situation now, just caused by the weather. And he said he hadn't heard anything about it. He said, if you tell somebody in Depot Bay to write me a letter and explain what's going on, I can't promise you anything, but we'll see.
All I need is his name. All the rest.
John Byrne. Burns, but I'm not sure how he spells.
Port of Coos Bay.
Port of Coos Bay. Can you get that for me? Will you get together before you leave?
I've got enough. I'll get to you.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah.
You got to remember, I'm not real smart, and Tanya makes me look good. So if you ask her, she knows all the smart stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's really impressive, too, because he had some very forward-looking, broad vision of what the future opportunities are. Mm-hmm. So, it's good to have him there.
So, how bad is the problem?
Really bad.
I heard somebody got just stuck turbos, just sitting at the dock, can't move.
There are a couple of them that they can't, it doesn't even have to be a full low tide. You get halfway down, as the tide starts to drop, there are several boats that can't get in there at all. We had a guy take a step into the mud and go up to almost his waist. Yeah,
well, that's bad. That's just silt that's come over the dam just this winter from all the extra water. We have a lot of water. So I don't know how far it extends into the bay. Can it be done on an emergency basis? Or I'll let you talk.
First thing in the morning. Well, not to worry.
I thought you might have been interested in
this.
Yes,
very.
I'm sure John will be very receptive whether or not you can do anything or when. It's probably
a help us.
There you go. And anything we can do to help, because when Port of Alsea got in trouble, we came in and helped them a little bit when their cost overrun. Not a huge amount of money, but Port of Alsea, there's not a lot of money there to try to get their thing fixed.
We appreciate that, and if we need it, we will ask.
They
be shy.
Well, okay. I can't promise you, zooks of money, but we can give you support. And
thank you.
I can go lots of places to build that support if you tell me what you want to do.
Okay.
A couple of shovels and some wheelbarrows.
That's a start. I fish out of here once in a while. When do we start? That's
pretty good.
If you get the dredge, you probably get the project done in 1 year rather than 5 years.
So now let's go to solar eclipse, and I got a couple more to add. We've got time, unless you guys are in a hurry to get out of here.
We're here as long as it's of value to all of us.
Okay, who put solar eclipse on?
I did.
Okay.
I did, because I thought it was important to find out what the county, for us to know what the county is doing and for the county to understand what we're doing.
You are ground zero.
We are ground zero. Mm-hmm. Center of totality. That is true.
10-17.
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
No, you put it on next.
It's up to me. Okay.
I'm not trying to trouble.
Okay. If I leave anything out, you feel free to jump in, you too. Okay. We formed a committee, which is made up of several city councilors and anyone from the public, meaning we did not limit it to Depot Bay citizens, who was interested in working with us. We had a meeting today. The committee meets every 2 weeks. We had a meeting today, and just to tell you, there must have been at least 30 people here. and we're getting that kind of attendance for every meeting. We are covering everything from, we're going to need at least 100 volunteers to do a whole variety of things, which I'll go into, and we need them all to have safety vests. We already have the vests. They're here. We just have to make up name tags. We were able to get a hold of a dozen porta-potties, which most communities have been unable to find in recent months, and some are being purchased and some are being rented. They will be here. Where they will be placed is still in question, and that's one of the things I want to talk about in a few minutes. There's a volunteer recruitment program to find 100 people who have the energy to walk the downtown core, be available to give directions, help us to collect trash on a regular basis, because refuse is going to be a major factor in this. We have ordered hundreds of thousands of trash bags so that we can change the bags in those cans on the street if we have to every 2 hours. We will have a couple of people whose sole jobs will be to empty them, put new bags in. We've ordered 100 extra big cans. We've ordered giant from North Lincoln.
Oh, the trash cans.
Dumpsters, thank you. Dumpsters to keep off the main area. Where we have to have a place to take these trash bags. It is likely we will not be able to drive to the North Lincoln sites if, in fact, traffic is as we expect it to be. We have worked with the fire district. We've talked with the medical people. There will be first aid available through Samaritan at their emergency clinic here, through the Depot Bay fire station there. There will be people on duty in both places. We're going to have, there will be a lost kids place with a couple of dozen red balloons. You get lost, go to the red balloons. Parent or child. Kids Zone has agreed to be the safe haven for kids. They'll be taken there. The sheriff's office has agreed to handle the getting the parent and child together again, because there are real legal issues in that one. So we're trying to look at every possible thing that might happen. Today someone brought up, what about lost pets? And what are you going to do about pet refuge? We're going to have mutt-mitts everywhere around town, same way we do in the parks right now. We will be mailing the middle of May a large postcard. This is a smaller typed version of it, which says all the things of concern and what you as a citizen can do to help prepare yourself. Things like shop for extra food, water, household supplies, do your banking, make sure your prescriptions are filled a week ahead of time, fill your gas tanks, make sure everything is charged up, because there'll be really overloads on the power system, on the cell system. Everything is going to be overloaded. Someone said today at the meeting, if everyone who's out here looking at the eclipse tries to take a picture at the moment of totality, how long do you think the cell system is going to operate? It's a real issue. We are meeting with restaurant owners to encourage them to shorten their menus so that they can put in extra supplies of easy-to-prepare foods, lots of handheld foods, because they're not going to be able to, you know, seating people and having, it's just going to be an impossible situation. So we're talking about water conservation. We're talking about how are we going to handle medical emergencies? How are we going to handle a fire or a traffic accident? How are these guys going to be able to get to those scenes? One of the things we haven't done yet that I want to set up, and if we need support, I hope I can come to you for it, is a meeting with Jenny and her, whoever she's got going. But we've got to have the sheriff's office, state police, ODOT, and our folks, so that we know that we're putting porta potties and our emergency radio systems in safe places. I understand that the Lincoln County Communications, emergency communications trailer, is going to be here right next to the Depot Bay Emergency Communications Trailer. We also have a very sophisticated, thanks to the chief and Michael Dane, who most of you probably know, we're going to have a great radio system in case cells do go down.
So, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think the percentage is? Has anybody figured out the percentage of foggy days that happen on that day? I mean, seriously, this is a serious question. It's because all these people get here, and all of a sudden they find out it's going to be foggy. They're going to want to bail out of here quick. And well, what I think is going to happen is that Lincoln City is going to become the traffic jam for coming and going through that one section of
Well, that's going to be a traffic jam, whether there's sun or fog. And the fact is, in a total eclipse, a little bit of fog doesn't affect the fact that it's going to get dark and there's going to be a funny feeling in the air. I mean, we've done a lot of research about this. And for many people, this is a religious experience. At the very least, a mystical experience. And whether the sun is shining brightly or not at the beginning, there will be dark, you know, we'll gradually get to darkness in about an hour, full dark, and then we'll gradually go back to whatever the light is, sunny, foggy, cloudy, but it will get dark and then it will get light again.
See, Rock got by in the dark, so I'm gonna like this.
I'm sure, what did I email?
Well, one thing that the county might be able to help us with, since this is such a emotional event, is perhaps a mental health workers, because that's a lot for the police to deal with, the ones who might be here, and certainly something volunteers, and overdoses. We have a high drug usage in this county, and some people, you know, they really want to have the full experience, and I think they might be doing that publicly and endangering others. So,
Mr. Belmont was signaling that.
Well, just that
I'm helping his son
and talking about it.
Yeah, we
have crisis people that have mental health crisis work, and obviously, this will be a time when people will not be off, vacations won't be happening.
Who should we reach out to so that we can connect with them?
Susan Drexel is, I think, our representative from the Health and Human Services Department on...
Susan Drexel?
Traxel. And so, and actually, we're doing a lot of work. A lot of the things that, Mayor, you were talking about are occurring right now. So there's a group that's been meeting with Jenny Damaris on a regular basis.
Chief's
been on that. And so they're actually doing a lot of things. And they'll be reaching out farther as they get their plans together. Another group that's been meeting is the city managers meeting on a regular basis, and I actually participate on behalf of the county with that group, and we'll invite Melanie to come meet with us now, too. And we've been discussing a lot of things we're doing in each of the communities that's going to be impacted, and a lot of activities that we're doing, too, and many of the very same similar things that you're doing. So we just need to kind of work on coordinating all those efforts.
Yeah, and I do have a concern about that because... You know, each of us has a unique situation. We're the center of totality, but it's true that Lincoln City is the bridge to 18, and if you go south, you got to get to, what's the road to go across 20? You know, so...
And actually, it stems from Waltport. The totality, just in different time frames, goes from Waltport to Lincoln City.
Yes.
So we are actually in the middle of a lot.
Right.
Okay. So, you work with emergency service, do you know what's...
Well, I just know that there's been a lot of planning, and of course, Jenny's working very closely, not only with our local public safety agencies, but certainly at the state level, too. I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, on Bend Emergency Management Conference, and there was a discussion of that about many of the same issues.
Right.
How are our first responders going to... be able to handle the issue, how to keep the highways open, and what happens if you've got so many airplanes or drones up there that will fly the airplanes.
And we have boats out there, too.
Comes down, boats. So there's a lot of work being done to coordinate those different agencies, and I know, again, as Council Belmont said that Chief Williams has been involved in some of the meetings. So there's lots going on and lots of work to be done, but it's going to be an experience.
And I believe Mr. Miller, our public information officer, is also working on this. Can we have him come in front of the camera, especially from a public, including having a web presence for information?
Well, I have to say, first of all, kudos to you guys, because the proactive activity you're doing is excellent. Excellent. You've already established a web page.
Yes.
It's linked to from your city page. And these are all really good things to see that really with limited resources, you guys are taking the bull by the horns. And that's what it's going to take, one of the pieces. I think the information coordination is something that's really starting to funnel for us. And meeting you, Melanie, and talking to you guys, that you have your own committee. Absolutely. I want to attend one of those meetings or more than one meeting. And really, it's time for us to merge activities like yours into your information and coordination, merge it with what we're doing, so that we're all speaking with one unified voice. And I think that's the key, is we sort of produce our talking points and have you review them and see, hey, you missed this. This might be something to include that we're doing in our community.
Actually, that's a great idea. Tomorrow, I will email you the JPEGs of both sides of the cart, which is being printed as we speak. And then you can tell us what we missed, so we can get it in our
schedule. Well, and vice versa, because as we get our draft versions ready to go, we'll want you to look at them and see where maybe you're doing things that we need to know about.
Yes, great.
Part of this piece for us, our Emergency Operations Center is going to be open. We're going to be coordinating with Josh and all of the other agencies that are participating. But part of it's going to be that information piece. And what I would love to be able to do is, if any portion of your time that I can actually have somebody boots on the ground here that I can coordinate with in what we call our Joint Information Center, or JIC, we'll be using that as that public interface between the media and other agencies. And another thing here that I'm pretty encouraged about is, I have spoken with Yacona Bay Communications and Boss Radio, and I've got a pretty good informal commitment that they're willing to go live for us, especially a couple hours before and a couple hours after, that we can literally use terrestrial radio as a way to give traffic updates, among other things. And so I think that's going to be a real big asset for us, because if we do have things like cell communications go down, which it very well could, this is one way we know we can probably reach a lot of people.
That's a great idea.
Just through radio. So we'll get together with your committee and exchange information. There's been a lot of planning behind the scenes, and I think that's been going really well. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, we've been planning for this for the past few years, of course. Started out with, I ordered 600 feet of fencing for the fire stations so that we can have a spot for our people to be. And I really intend on making our fire stations in the district their own individual compounds with food and provisions for the people that are there. I'd like to thank the commissioners for partnering with us with the eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
I worked with Wayne over the past few months, and we've purchased 75,000 glasses that will be distributed throughout the county with a lot of the other fire agencies in the city. So with the amount of glasses that we were able to purchase, we were able to get a really great price. And to talk about what Casey was talking about, I was with Cheryl Harrell with Boss FM on Monday, and she said the same thing. Anytime we need to get on the radio live, she'll do it. My number one concern is access. Any given August day for us is a busy day. If this was to happen last year, that would have been the day the fire started in Depot Bay. So that's fire season even at the beach. I wish I could predict the amount of people, but in a word, a pattern of we're going to do what we can and wait and see what happens. Normally, if we were to have a call in Glen Eden Beach, for example, we have the fire engine from Depot Bay that is also going. That is not going to work. We are going to spin up all three fire stations and have personnel, whether career and volunteers, operating. We anticipate ramping up probably Thursday night, Friday morning, going until Tuesday. There is no vacations, cancel sick leave, everything. There's nothing. So we have the luxury of a date. I'm treating this as a predictable disaster. And that's exactly what it is. And so we've had a lot of communication with Jenny. We are working really hard. And with all that said and done, we're going to have to just see what happens.
We'll do the best we can. We had Hancock Forest Management. We've been working with them on our committee also. And we had a couple of separate meetings with them and talked at great length. They actually were willing to open the forest lands. If we would manage the event, they were willing to have people come up onto the where they've done clear cut, where the view is going to be magnificent, to watch. But then we got into detailed discussion about it and realized there's no way to safely do that with the number of people we're talking about. And so, reluctantly, mutually, we made the decision, not a good idea, we're going to keep the gates locked, they're going to try to do something to assure that people can't get through, even if they happen to cut chains, they're going to put cement barriers so that vehicles can't easily get up those roads. I'm sure people will walk up. I don't know that we can do anything about that, but they're working with us too, which is very helpful.
I might, there's a lot of talk about communications, and that one again was a big topic of conversation at the conference I went to, the redundancy of communications, and, you know, whether it's cell phones or ham radios. I mean, there'll be a lot of redundancy in communications, so that radios can be a part of that, radio stations can be a part of that. Recognize it's a critical part of being able to manage whatever happens.
So, I have two other subjects I'd like to talk about a little bit. One is Coast Guard budget, Coast Guard helicopter. There's a bill in the legislature which is similar to one that we had last year, which will then, when that's passed, have a document to show the state board considers this an important thing. Since the budget cuts, Coast Guard is 14% average. And Depot Bay has been on the block before as a Coast Guard facility, and we want to be proactive, saying, look, this is, cutting the Coast Guard is just a mistake in my mind.
Yeah.
And you talk about military, that's military, but it also has a bunch of civil uses that's important. Especially right here on this part of the coast, but up and down the whole coast, for law enforcement and for all kinds of search and rescue activities and all the things that they do. So we have a bill that's coming up that we can carry back to anybody that's going back to Washington, D.C. So you have a document to show that you actually are talking about a subject that's important to the state.
Okay.
It'll be coming out of the legislature. I don't see anything that will stop the new bill.
No, not at all.
And,
the do you have a number so that I can track it down?
Pardon?
The bill number?
Let's make sure, let's look it up, and that when you communicate with Tanya, we'll make sure she gets you the number.
Okay. It's an Arnie Roland bill, and Congress signed on it.
Okay.
I put it in before this all started, and got them to introduce it, not knowing exactly what was going to happen, but the second they made the budget cuts, I asked them to move the bill, and everybody's stepping forward saying the same thing.
So, you know, one of the oldest sayings in Washington, the president proposes and Congress disposes. So I really don't think it's not outside the realm of possibility. Hopefully, it never becomes a reality, a cut of that magnitude to the Coast Guard, but you know, we need to be well-armed and have all our resources to show that this is a grave community concern. It's a grave public safety concern and that this cannot be considered. I mean, the thing I heard again and again a couple of years ago when we had the fight for the Newport helicopter, our delegation would have had our backs on that anyway, but the fact that, you know, hundreds of people came out at public meetings, thousands. I think the final total was something like 18,000 people signed the paper, an online petition saying, no, this isn't acceptable. That really moved it to the top of their priority list.
Well, I talked to John Searing today, and he said that he thought it was safe, but, you know, it never hurts to make sure.
No, absolutely.
And so that's what we want to watch. And there's another issue. It's water, long-term water on the coast. Newport's been working with developing a long-term water plan and putting a lot of effort into it. They got a grant. And
we've been attending those meetings. I personally have been to the list.
Yeah. That's, I think, significant. I mean, you don't have to attend every meeting, but we need to keep it informed. We don't really supply water, but if there's a major water, anything that has to do with water, it either flows through county land, or if there's ever a reservoir or a water impoundment or anywhere that water comes from, it's probably going to come off county land. And so we're doing the same thing. We're watching and participating. Not every meeting, but trying to watch to make sure we can participate.
We have someone going to every single meeting. Our city superintendent, we've made it part of his job.
Oh.
So that, well, because we think it's that important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is, really, for any development for the future for all of us. Yeah. We've got to get this down because we can't keep taking the amount of water out of the selects that we are. I'm worried as a because if you take the water down and then you have a particularly warm year, then all of a sudden water rights go out the window if you have an Endangered Species Act listing on salmon, and all the water goes to fish. And again, it's critical now. It's a possibility.
Yeah, that's why we're paying attention.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's the subject I had. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about? We've got 10 minutes.
I have a suggestion getting back to solar eclipse. One of our issues seems to be finding, we certainly right now have all the water we need, right? But we have no containers. For an eclipse, for that kind of magnitude of people, you're going to need large containers of water to supply to people. From what I understand, our superintendent got a hold of the state armory people. They said no, they're going to be using them for their events. It sounds like so far we're coming up short. Is there anything that you guys can do leverage-wise or
mellow? Well, I know what I do in this situation. I take my old mellow bottles, plastic mellow bottles, fill them up because they make good containers for water.
They do.
You just have to pack several of them instead of a few.
Well,
and they're readily accessible.
And certainly visitors should be aware and self-sufficient. We all know how that works.
Yeah, a lot of folks.
I think we're going to kind of be almost responsible to come up with something.
You can get your citizens just to store a few of those. That'll help, and they can give them to people. But that's inexpensive as far as having a water container. No one's got that kind of volume of those kinds of containers around. That's my suggestion. It's just off the top of my head. It's right there. I carry them on the boat. I carry an extra 2 or 3 containers like that on the boat. They're easy to handle, easy to hand over to somebody. You have to give them on another boat.
It's going to be a challenge countywide.
Oh, yes. We don't know what's going to happen. It's exciting. It is exciting because if we can pull together and whatever does happen, and be successful working together and pulling this off, that's the better off we're going to be when we do have a major disaster like a tsunami or something that we can pull together to make it happen. This is a training.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly what it does.
A live training.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, if nothing else, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
Before you adjourn, I'd just like to say that I thought this was really a productive meeting. It's nice to get together and talk about the common issues with a collaborative approach, a positive approach. And it was really, I think, very beneficial. So I thank you.
On both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. This is exactly what former Commissioner Don Ledley had in mind, I'm going to say, about 25 years ago when he initiated this series of yearly meetings.
It's great. And thank you. Thank you very much.
It doesn't have to be yearly. If you have a problem, you're welcome to call any one of us. We've kind of, Doug usually handles transportation for the state,
economic development,
emergency services, Bill does housing, health, and I tend to be more involved in natural resources and ocean issues, but I do forestry issues, and we're all responsible for the same thing, but if you have an issue with any one of those things, if you want to cut down some time, just call Kenya 265-4100 and name the issue, and she'll direct you in the right direction.
Terrific. Thank you for that.
Okay. So we'll reconvene in about 5 minutes then with our business agenda.
We've got 6 minutes. We're supposed to start at 7.
No, immediately following. Remember, we changed that a few years ago because every now and then we run short. So we said,
"What? Bill's anxious to get out of here."
All right. This is to take some more cold medicine, allergy medicine, and get back.
Okay.
Okay. He wants you to get.